Chapter 3.
Accidentally on purpose. Awakening in the sense of purpose. Ultimately, man should not ask what the meaning of his life is, but rather he must recognize that it is he who is asked. Viktor Frankl. If I were to ask you, what is your purpose in life? There is a chance you'll begin thinking of an answer. Perhaps you'll try to figure it out, this purpose, referring to outer authorities or to the past. Sometimes people look puzzled, suspecting an accusation of pointlessness, uselessness, or the horrific death trap of failure. With confusion, fear arises and a pressure to give an answer. Knowing the answer calms the system, bringing stability, identity, and the confidence of being informed. But even when we come with an answer, my purpose is X, Y, or Z, the answer itself can seem to expose a field of questions waiting to be born. There could be a background sense of the lie, a subtle frustration, a lingering expectation for a long-forgotten miracle, or an ancient sense of disappointment, surfacing as fresh as the morning dew. How could we define our purpose? How could we limit it by making a thing of it? Somewhere we shudder at their restriction. Knowing our purpose is not always the same as finding it. Finding it means we have got a sense of it in our heart, gut, and bones. Between finding our purpose and knowing it and living it, between finding our purpose and knowing it and living it, there can be whole rifts of despair. We can feel cheated by God, denied by the world, and betrayed by life. The pain of unfulfilled promise can be worse than no promise at all. We can feel a rageful disappointment or a dread of being that disappointment. So sometimes it feels easier to shrug the promise of all we are born to be, because where there's such beauty, we find only burden. Burdened with the badness and sadness of it, disappointed and bored, we look for something to blame. The magical word, because, comes forward. Because puts a spell on us. When we say the word because, we empower something as being at cause of all that we are. When we say, I can't be myself because of the system, for example, we give power to the system. We hypnotize ourselves into believing that the system is at cause of all we are. All we are is simply an effect of the system. All we are is simply a helpless effect of the system. Each time we use the word because, we give away part of our vitality, part of our causality, part of our truth. We sacrifice our originality and our origination. I am not free because of you. I can't find fulfillment because of my childhood. I am not happy because of the pain in my left foot. When we say because, we put our purpose in the field of illusion. We trade our true nature for an excuse. We try to shed the blame but find ourselves empowering the whole field of blame. I am not free because of the dog. Just imagine. The poor dog is now the cause, reason, meaning, and definition of my freedom. We put the authority of our purpose outside of ourselves, surrounding ourselves with a social militia of shoulds and should nots. And then we blame those same demigods that we feel so lost and so very alone. Our sense of purpose is intimately connected with the quality of passion. When we find a depth of purpose, we become alive and thrive. Purpose is the intelligence of passion. At the formational layer of the psyche, it activates the unique information within the individual. It brings our individuality to life. It offers the unique flavor of all that we are into the collective field, making it useful wherever it is needed. The joy in the fulfillment of the deeper need of the whole is inseparable from our intimate individual sense of purpose. In so many ways, to question our individual purpose is to question the purpose of life itself. This kind of question can be a catalyst of healing, an accelerator of transformation, and a compass in our manifestation of true nature. Yet, when we look for the sense of purpose, we will find it first and foremost as a sense. The answer will come from the felt sense, from the somatic sense of being alive. The sense of purpose is the sensing of purpose. The purpose of life is found in the sense of purpose. It is in the feeling of mobilization in which the individual skills and talents get oriented toward the well-being of the whole. There is a quickening of energetic flow, an arousal of the nerve system, a tingling charge of energy, and an alignment of head, heart, and body. This agreement between dimensions of experience lets us rest back as the source of all quality. Quality energy flows through us, merging with fields of resonance. The separate I becomes a perfunctory label, appearing here and there where it's technically needed in service to the wider purpose and the deeper need. Imagine a singer who is delivering a song to war-torn soldiers. Traumatized and grief-struck, they are energetically melting into the tenderness of her voice, as her power and her melody supports them in the long journey back to the open heart. When her song is done, she steps off the stage. "Hilda," says a voice. "Hilda!" They need to call several times because she doesn't recognize her name. For a moment, the singer looks confused. Who the hell is Hilda? Her whole being is still residing in the purpose of the song. Informed by the sense of purpose, the quality of passion has transported her beyond the limitations of the thinking mind and personal identity. As the song moves through her, so does the voice of heaven, calling its war-torn, forsaken children home. The felt sense of purpose is primary, and the many ways it expresses through action are secondary. Purpose is not an idea, not a task, not a thought, but a feeling. A feeling that is intuitively arising out of the depth of need. The sense of purpose is the compass within passion. It gives direction to the manifestation of passion in life, and it consolidates us as an affirmative receiver of the expression of passion in others. Yet we have a top-down approach to the world. We tend to believe that we are our thoughts and that our consciousness is also a kind of thought. This can give us a superficial feeling of control. At the same time, it generates a background atmosphere of victimhood and dreadful impotence. We are mentally required to manifest a purposeful reality, at the same time that we seem to constantly make a mess of it. This can leave us feeling lost, useless, and perpetually enslaved to the other. As slaves of thought, we actually contract our consciousness into a provisional control tower within the headquarters of the brain. From this contracted mental state, it can seem that the search and rescue of our purpose is a battle maneuver. Any success is in spite of the hostile environment of an unfriendly world. We are commanded to be purposeful even while weathering the strange, unpredictable climate of our emotions and inner states. We must have purpose even though we are attached to this strange enemy territory of a physical body. In a purposeless universe, gaslighted by the gods, we are required to find purpose. We're born to bring heaven to earth, but God breaks the contract and makes it impossible for us. Devoid of the sense of purpose, we can feel soulless and spiritually forsaken. All this anguish is arising from a core conditioning that we are the thinking mind. Thinking defines us. I think, therefore I am. Yet so often it is the thinking process that takes a simple sense of pain and whips up a whole psychic split. Our thoughts condemn us, criticize us, bully us and abuse us. We complain at the world about our inner complaining, and when this makes us feel awful, we despair a little more. When we are split between thought and feeling, it can mean that on the one hand we are raging against life, declaring it meaningless, while threatening God and wife with non-existence and personal suicide if we do not get what we desire, while on the other hand we are stroking our dog with a tenderness that says we will never leave her. Do you recognize such splits in the psyche, between the mental rage at senselessness and the body's ongoing purposeful natural movements toward well-being? When we look into nature, we will find an abundance of the sense of purpose. It seems that all forms of life are hardwired to experience it. When I give our dog a piece of sausage, she sometimes looks at it like it's a senseless object. If I ask her to sit, lie down, follow me around the room and roll over, and then give her the same sausage, she is in ecstasies at its flavor. The sense of purpose draws out the deliciousness of life. When you look to all animals, you can get a connection with the sense of purpose. It is in the way a bird flies with a twig in her mouth, in the awesome engineering of the bees in the hive, in the eminence of the trees, and in the industrious empires of a nest of ants. It is in the salmon destined to swim upstream. It is in the cloud decorating the sky as he waits for that moment when he must rain down. The spiritual teacher Russell Williams used to say that everything is perfect. It can be perfectly good or perfectly bad, but it is perfect according to the conditions that surround it. It is the same with the sense of purpose. Everything has its purpose. Even the feeling of being useless has an undercurrent of the sense of purpose. Even our wildest declarations that life has no meaning are broadcasting purpose through the frustration of purpose. Even absence, negation, or non-being have a sense of purpose. Why would this be? Could it be that the sense of purpose is integral to our consciousness? That wherever we are conscious and alive, we are blessed with the sense of purpose? Could it be that to follow the sense of purpose is to follow the light of consciousness? Could it be that this light of consciousness, or those spaces that light us up, are showing us the way we need to go to open our passion for life?